evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Hawk coming to you live. It's 7/5/2019 live Friday night show. And what a week this has been. What a week this has been. And you know, the future belongs to the brave. Well, that's going to be true because I'm going to tell you what. There's going to be a fight coming. There's going to be fights coming, and you're going to have to be ready. And I will say this. Long, long ago and far, far away. That's what I was going to do my intro was. And I should have, but I think I'll just play it straighter on that. But for the fact of the matter is this. What if they gave a nuclear war and only half a million or a million people knew about it in America? And everybody else didn't have a clue. It's interesting because I went someplace where these young guys asked me, they say, well, what's going on? And I kind of use these guys as like a gauge of where the average, and these are college educated guys at work. And I sort of try to get an idea of where even an educated young person is at from them. And I try to tell them certain things to look up and all of that. But be that as it may, President Trump was correct. It was the best speech. It was extremely moving on the 4th of July to me. It was emotionally moving. And I heard the message of John Paul Jones and all of them, you know, all the different quotations that he had, okay, from all the different people in the walks of life. And I thought it was very, very good. And it also, in contrast to those of the demon communist rats, and that's spoken by somebody who used to go at age 18 to, the countywide caucuses, all right? He was invited to because he signed so many people up to vote when he was 18. But long ago and far and away, and what would you do and what would you say if they gave a nuclear war and nobody came? Then I will say this. On the 3rd, as you all basically of seen, or the 2nd, or when was that? What day was that? Let's see exactly what day that was. That was, because with the holiday, it's kind of goofy. Well, basically, it was 2 days ago. And anyway, we had all kind of stuff that broke in the middle of the day. And the first things that people saw was that Pence, you know, had been recalled, okay, from New Hampshire quickly. And then a whole lot of other stuff started developing. And then I was getting information from a deep background signal intelligence source or two, okay? And I was getting information that was very disturbing. And I started sending it up to Steve. And let's see, that was July 2nd is when it was. And then after I called Steve Quayle and told him a whole lot of things, incidentally, you can go up to stevequayle.com and you can see in the alerts one of the things that I had him put up. It was part of an email I sent him. But after I got that information to Steve, it wasn't very long. Then he put up a Hal Turner story, and then I found a DEPCA report that dovetailed all with it. And consequently, we're talking about, for those just tuning in now, we're talking about the damaged Russian sub and all of this. And there were 14 fire kills, 14 Russian sailors aboard deep sea submersible. Well, it's a submarine. It's not only a submersible. It has to have a hull that holds its water, if you know what I mean, or keeps the water out, because it is goes down about 20,000 feet. But here's what I was told right off the bat and off the get-go, and it's accurate because the source of this was from the signal intelligence world, and the source, you know, is somebody that has been cleared to the highest levels, and I'm talking about not, well, yeah, top secret cleared. No, I'm talking about cleared depending on which days you were in and which days you're in now and all of that and what name they call it this week. He was cleared all the way to Magic, you know, or a Majestic 12, but it was Magic clearance, Cosmic clearance, all the clearances, and could transmit the pro word stuff above that, all right? He was cleared for any traffic at any time by any message sender or receiver, okay? The top slot dog in terms of being able to know what they're talking about. And it's the Cold War, you know, since the Cold War time involved. But what I was told is that there has been an incident off the coast of Alaska. The Russians are saying it's in their waters. It really was off in the Alaskan waters. And there was a deep sea spy type sub that was down there right off our coast deep, and that particular sub, our submarine, and then now I would amend that slightly, our submarine or craft that is under the water, okay? I will allow for that particular instance, because if it's submarine, that means it's below the water, right? Well, we also know that certain craft can go under the water. They can go out to space. But let's just say it's a submarine, because that's the way we first were told about it. And a U.S. submarine, if you can envision this, is hearing and seeing on their sonar or whatever sensors they have a Russian sub or some kind of a vessel right off the coast, and they were going to see what the threat was, or if it was a threat. And as you would approach with a submarine or even any type of underwater vehicle or craft, you would naturally, if you saw one on your sonar or whatever you were using to look, whatever sensors you have, that you would target that. You would basically establish it as a target and watch its movement. If, let's say, that you are in a wartime footing, which we are in a wartime footing with Iran, with Russia, with, you know, Red China, the whole nine yards with North Korea, it is a hostile scenario. We've already fired on positions in Syria that were right next to Russian positions. We actually killed about 300 Russian so-called mercenaries. You see what I'm saying? Spetsnaz types. And then yet we have inside the United States, we have Russian Spetsnaz here, still here from when Obama hired them. And they still get paid clandestinely. And many of them are still here, and I don't care who says they're not, they are. Because you can see them, you can spot them. I get reports on them all the time, all over. I gave you the report last week about Wichita Falls, right? Thanks to the brother who gave that report down there. And there was Spetsnaz right there in the Wally World. Now, at least 14 Russian naval officers and sailors died in this fire. But if you can imagine our sub coming upon deep and underwater, a Russian submarine, and they've got it in their sights, but what they don't know necessarily, because of tactics of the Russians. The Russians had an Overwatch or Mother Hen type of sub to this allegedly unarmed spy sub, allegedly. And in the background, they noticed, and let's imagine that, let's say that there are fish in the tube in a standard submarine or a nuclear submarine. There's fish or torpedoes in the tube. And let's say that just in case, in this type of a scenario with an unknown submarine from an unknown quantity nation or whatever off the coast, then you kind of get the idea it's a Russian. You might have your doors on your tubes open, ready to fire, just in case. And if you, in the terms of the movies, it's not necessarily how they do it, you might be pinging it with sonar. Remember Red October, the hunt for Red October? One ping only. Remember that, you know? But anyway, that particular idea is something you got to get in your mind. So then when you approach it, you get a little closer, then in the background, run silent, run deep, you know? Hiding out, but real quiet-like, is the Russian mother sub, which happens to be a larger killer-type sub, and it fires a torpedo, a high-speed torpedo, at the United States submarine. And then in boat driver, if the captain is around, then you give him a round of drinks on Old Hawk and all the crew here and all the crew that listened, because I tell you, you had somebody who had the cojones and also the smarts to go to war the right way. He already had that other sub target, and somebody fires on him from the side pocket and comes right at him. What did he do? I'll bet you what he did was what I was told happened, is that he fired on the sub that he had targeted and did an emergency blow to go to the surface. Now, on the way to the surface, the high-speed Russian torpedo, and incidentally, they had the Skval torpedoes, but they called it what they called that torpedo that hit them, like a Balkan 2000 or something like that, Balam Balkan 2000, whatever it happened to be. But now here's where it gets all interesting. At that point in time, the report was that the United States submarine crew, that submarine had to be scuttled. Now, the word scuttled is an interesting term to use, because basically it means you have to let the ship go down, or the ship is so damaged that it ain't going to work again, the hull's pierced or whatever, the engines are blown, whatever it is, that you then, if you're going to scuttle a ship, you get your people off on the lifeboats, if possible, or they've been, upchucked out the escape hatches, etc., because there are some like what the SEALs use, and that could be used to get some out. And that water's awfully cold in the Bering Sea. But if you do that, you got to get rid of the ship. Then the ship goes down, you might blow sensitive stuff or take out some of the sensitive stuff if you have time and get it out of there. Now, that's what came up, and that's what we were looking at as the information. Now, Hal Turner did a good job of getting his info out real quick, and DEPCA got theirs out, and some of the initial stuff came from Mossad sources, allegedly, all right? And that's basically what I would say about that, is that was what probably did it. Let's see here if I've got what I'm looking for. I've got so many articles on it. Now, here is from Hal Turner's report, which had a lot of the items, accurate in it. Reportedly, an American submarine operating the coast of Alaska was reportedly torpedoed and sunk during a firefight with a Russian submarine after the American sub allegedly intercepted the Russian sub in American waters. Russian submarine allegedly sustained heavy damage in the fight, which it was a fight, with upwards of 14 crew killed, but made it back to its base in Russia. That was his initial report, and that was good. And then basically, when you start to get the update, emergency meetings have taken place in the White House, and with Pence being called back to the White House and having to cancel his trip in New Hampshire. As Pence was called back, word broke that Russian President Vladimir Putin had canceled his stuff and was meeting with his defense ministers, etc. There was also taking place at the EU headquarters. There was a meeting in Brussels. There was a COBRA meeting, which is the hottentots of the British, Great Britain government. They all met, and then NATO met, okay? So those are all key things regarding this incident. Now, what then started to transpire was, if you look, I think you can still see this at the alert. I read the DEPCA account, and then I wrote this to see, which he published it on the alert section. Here is the DEPCA account. Now, it doesn't have the link to the DEPCA file link, but you could go find that. DEPCA, D-E-B-K-A, DEPCA file. .com or DEPCA.com, you can look it up. That confirms what the deep background ears, quote unquote, somebody who listens, a source, is reporting from his sources. Allegedly, U.S. sub fired back at Russians and hit the sub that fired at them. Then U.S. sub possibly did emergency blow, but it must be scuttled. Marine guards, this is what it was, a report that I was given, were apparently off their post, the White House, and allegedly President Trump was taken to a bunker or to a plane. Now, we also had sources at the time that said a secondary source that is an excellent source on, and also a retired SIGINT person, and they said the TACAMO plane has taken off. And then what the TACAMO plane is a plane that's up. If you've ever seen the movies where the president's in one plane and the Air Force One, and they're under the gun with the Russians, they're in a fight and all that kind of stuff. There's been several movies like this. Then the TACAMO plane, and the one movie I remember had like what's the guy with the deep CNN voice? Jones, whatever his name is. Had him up in there as the head of the TACAMO plane, and then their job is to, if necessary, to prosecute or execute the nuclear war against their enemies and direct the nuke forces, the strategic forces, and also, if necessary, to call the whole ball from up in the sky with stuff where they can do evasive action and flying like crazy and with tankers all positioned ready to go to keep them up in the air. Just as Air Force One biz. If the president was not available, they would look for the vice president, contact him. If they couldn't get them, they would get Pelosi. Yeah, Pelosi would be next, okay? Speaker of the House. Then you'd have Pompeo, Secretary of State, and you go on down the cabinet. But the fact of the matter is that TACAMO plane was up. The guy who put that out on his website, within about 10 minutes of him putting that information, the TACAMO plane was up. Somebody from the federal government or the Pentagon swooped in and took his whole website off the air in a DC second, okay, or a Virginia moment. And they took it off the air and scrubbed all that information off. What does that tell you? It doesn't tell you that it's wrong. If it's wrong, they would leave it up and then they would make fun of you, okay? So now here's the deal. The TACAMO plane is up, ready to go to nuclear war. President's a met, and we don't know where President Trump went. We don't need to know. It was probably to a deep bunker off-site, maybe, or maybe he was down below. I don't know. There is a bunker in the White House, but then there's also others that he could go to. He could also have been taken to Air Force One immediately by a Marine One, okay? But when the Marine guards aren't there, right there at the White House, they could be guarding the president or taking him somewhere to get on that other plane or get to a deeper bunker somewhere where it's more protected. Like Site R or Mount Weather or Mount Pony or any of a number of different ones. There's underground trains that take you right there. There's, you know, to different places. You can catch them in the Capitol. You can catch them in different places. President can get to them from other areas, I'm sure. And even a few years ago, the Naval Observatory, where the vice president lives, they did a huge construction thing underneath. And Scuttlebutt says that they put in a, this is for old Dick Cheney at the time, I believe. They put in a direct station so he could get on it and go to Site R or wherever. Because you remember when W. Bush was up in Air Force One, Cheney was in Site R with the shadow government, was he not? Well, he was, whether you know it or not. So now these are all things here. Now, at that time, they used to say it was this is Andrews Air Force Base or this is Sigonella or this is Puerto Rico or whatever was handling all of the major military comms for that moment or at that time. Generally, it was Andrews in the past. Now they don't say it, and they give a code name or whatever they do. Now, what they did was to put out emergency action messages, but they didn't use Sky Kings. But they used a two-letter code word sequence to prefix their messages. And these two letters stand for two code words, a code word from the time of the Cold War. And I'm not going to give that out on the air. Some of you I have who asked me certain things, I sent an email to you, and I kind of told you that. Not many people. But that is a code word or set of two words that are a code that establishes nuclear war protocols. They don't go, we're going to DEFCON 3. No, we're going to DEFCON 2. Or DEFCON. They don't do that. They just, boom, it's there. Because in this day and age, ladies and gentlemen, you can have a cruise missile hit from outside the 7-mile limit and hit the U.S. Capitol or hit the Pentagon or wherever, from a Russian sub in a deep trench, and it'll be there in about 2 minutes, 1 to 2 minutes. Kaboom! You could, with the hypersonic missiles that the Russians have, and incidentally, we have them too. The Chinese have got them as well, because the Chinese stole them from us, and then the Russians gave them some stuff too. But a hypersonic Russian missile could hit Texas, and if it's dialed up all the way, get in Texas in less than 5 minutes. I'm just using that example because that's the example that was given, and they said the power of the hypersonic was such it could get there in 5 minutes, and it's so big that it could take out a large portion of Texas, which happens to be, besides Alaska, one of the largest states you ever want to be in. All right? It is was the largest state until we took Alaska on. Now, all the while doing that, anybody who was doing calls in to the military communications, and they still use HF, it's not all on the satellite, because what you going to do when the Russians take the satellites out, or the Red Chinese, or whoever does, or the Iranians, or the North Koreans, because they can do it too. So, we're at this stage where they have implemented the codes that put all of the U.S. military on this protocol. Okay? Now, they don't take out ads and put it on the internet. They don't say this. They don't call CBS, ABC, NBC, and Fox or any of them. They don't tell them. Now, what the information did came out was important, and it came out because that gives a heads up to the American people. Well, even with the heads up we try to provide, And I'm going to tell you more about this. Because what I'm going to also I'm going to tell you is some of the bona fides that make it even more real. And then you say, well, Hawk, there's a lot of stories out there. All right. Now, while all of this is still rolling, they're requiring that all people calling in to the military comm stations, that they give their authenticator code of the unit that's calling in, or the plane, or the ship, or the military unit in the field, or wherever you're at, in space, under the water, wherever. In a deep coal mine, I don't care, they had to authenticate. Now, this kept going on, and they kept doing emergency things. Then the traffic coming from the units were saying, this is XYZ479, or what, you know what I mean, you know, the code, the authenticator code for some, you know, bomber or some aircraft or a ship up whatever coastline is saying, we're here on station as ordered, ready for receive further traffic, you know? So all of this is going on and going on and going on. So then we start to see things like we're hearing about stuff starting to come out, but it's starting to come out in a form and fashion to where they only talk about the Russian submarine, and they don't say what it's doing. Now, what was the submarine supposedly doing there? It could go down to 20,000 feet, but that doesn't mean that it was at 20,000. That just means it can. Okay? And here is the deal. What could they have been doing? Well, they automatically, somebody says, well, these are the subs they can use to cut the internet and the fiber optic cables. You know, they used to be the old transatlantic telephone lines or the Trans-Pacific lines or the whatever lines that are on the usually lay on the bottom of the ocean, okay? And yeah, they can do that. Or they don't have to cut them because that's old school. They would rather hack into them and put their hooks into it and get the traffic off of them. But that's only one of the things they can do. What they don't tell you is they could be down there putting sensors at the bottom to track any movement of U.S. submarines or vessels or anything up above. They also could have them down there to dig this. They could also have them down there to put tactical nuclear devices of a fairly good size that could be set off in the event of war, or could be set off like in Alaska to do a massive tsunami, or maybe to cause a massive quake that would come down from Alaska into Cascadia and into Northern California. You understand? Now, Alaska, back in the 60s, had a huge quake, and they had a big tsunami that went everywhere. If that's only 50 miles away across the Bering Sea or whatever from Russia, that's who you might want to hit first, you know? So we got two Russian subs there, but most of the stories don't talk about the second one, and most of the stories don't have anything about a U.S. sub being there. I've even seen one of the quote-unquote shore stories or one of the quote-unquote spin stories from the counterintelligence crew and spin meisters that all the EIEIOs have at their disposal. Even one story telling about how a ship was off the coast of Norway and they're interviewing the Norwegian admiral. What the heck does that have to do with it? Yeah, they play games up around up in Norway, Sweden, and Denmark all the time. Just as they play games off the East Coast, the West Coast, the Gulf Coast, and the Arctic Circle. So we have two Russian subs, you see. Yeah, I'm reading here. According to Reuters, nearly a day without information about the accident and nuclear facility and the need to look out for Norwegian statements. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. That's fiddling the can. That's an omission. That's a lie, in other words, you know, the way they write it. So when you've had all these urgent consultations and all this stuff, and you're getting all these crazy reports, but the initial reports are usually more accurate on TV. Shepard Smith says we have to wait for the other reports where they're more accurate. The first ones are usually inaccurate. No, the first reports are generally the most accurate, and then they have to get their story straight, you see, and get the spin and get the bull crap and put it out there. Now, here's where we keep going on further. As this thing develops, allegedly somebody, a source hears that the hotlines have been activated between Putin and President Trump. And they're all talking on there and all that stuff and trying to work through the business because it's getting pretty serious, you see. Because we also had reports that an unusual, and thank you to the man from the Wasatch who got that information for me. A quote-unquote, an unusual and extremely rapid deployment of all U.S. forces in the Gulf States regions in the Middle East. Well, that would be true, you see. Now, your third cousin's brother-in-law's nephew, who is in the Pentagon crib sheet room that does paperwork, may not have known any of this. Lance Corporal might not know it. PFC Jones or Smith or Al Kabong may not know it because he's just dreaming about going to the beach somewhere and getting him a case of Budweiser. And having a little time on the 1 or 2 days leave that he's got coming up that he thinks he might get. And if he's out somewhere and he might be able to get off ship or get somewhere on liberty and go to the PI or go to Hong Kong or go to Paris or wherever he's going to go. And so they're not necessarily in the know about it. Matter of fact, about 99% of all the military did not know what the two-letter prefix probably meant. But when they looked up in the old code books, you know, them old code books probably somewhere, they blow the dust off on the shelf, and they go down the list, and they go, A, B, C, D, X, Y, Z, G, K, Y, M, 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 L, L, you know, whatever it is. And they find those two letters, and they say, holy shimoly, we're going to nuclear war. So then there's a set protocol of getting ready to do that, and I mean to get ready to launch your stuff on somebody else's pod. You know what I mean? Launch everything you got on somebody else's pod. All right? Now, at that period of time, we also have from other sources that saw and heard and observed and checked in with other sources they had, that a whole lot of people in the middle of that rainstorm and thunderstorm in D.C. that night or early evening, that in the midst of all that with thunder and lightning and strong winds and that thunderstorm and pounding rain, helicopters were flying into the closest airbase there next to the Pentagon or near the Pentagon to offload personnel, not to pick somebody up and take them somewhere, but to bring people to work that night in the Pentagon, the key people. And apparently they'd been picking them up wherever they were on leave, you see. They notified people, boom, you got to get back here now. And they said, you go to such and such, and the helo will pick you up and bring you, mister or ma'am. right over here so you can go to work and do your key job. So we know that there was multiple helos coming in and they were all being buffeted by the rain. It's like those rescue helicopters sometimes when you see them on The Deadliest Catch or in one of those movies where the good Navy or Coast Guard pilots are trying to land a guy down on the deck to get the sick or the injured or the, you know, the person in deep trouble to get them up into a litter and into the basket and to get them back up in the helo so they can take them for an emergency somewhere, okay? And in a driving rain, the lightning crashing, kaboom, 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 and it's not where you want to be flying because you're pretty susceptible to getting struck by lightning or getting blowed over from the wind. So that's the climate that they were bringing people to work that night at the Pentagon. They don't do that when it's a bullcrap drill or there's no real problem, nothing here to see, just go on, move on. They don't do that. They don't put, you know, millions of dollars of equipment at risk and people, key top people at risk, to bring them to the Pentagon to work. Even an RC-12 landed in there, instrument landing only. How do we know that? Because the guy that was very close by on the scene was looking at certain items, and he could tell instrument landing only, and from the air traffic and on the close by, and then the visual, that plane had trouble with the wind shears and being buffeted and stopping right and all of that. And that's a surveillance type craft, a surveillance plane. They also may have picked somebody up from somewhere and brought them to work. Now, in the midst of all of that, we're getting at the Zulu, when the Zulu day, when the military time, when the date changes, and you go to the new Zulu dawn or whatever, you know, it's just when the time, the day switches on the 24-hour military thing. At that period of time, that night, they went to a new set of codes because they always change the codes and all the stuff. And they went to a code. I'll just say that code is called uniform. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that everything's smooth and copacetic. All right? And you can play with the alphas and all of that. But if you had the whole alphanumeric, you'd know more. But all I can tell you is this. After that went out, and they're already under the two-letter prefix that put them on nuclear alert, and then whatever orders they gave under that code prefix, immediately all of the units in the field and all over the world started to call in demanding authentication of who gave the order. They wanted that order authenticated, and it created such a problem because everybody was calling in saying, holy, holy shamoli, you know, holy crap or whatever. This thing, you know, whoa, you know, I want to know who gave that order. Give me the authenticator code, which would tell them it's Commander-in-Chief or SecDef or Joint Chiefs or Admiral, you know, Rickenbacker or Hukabuka or whoever it is that gave that order, just to make sure that's a bona fide order. So they got to call in with their authenticator, ask for authenticator on the orders, and this is one of the bona fides. Besides those helicopters dragging people to work in the midst of, oh, there's nothing to see here. Because the stories were already starting to come out to spin saying nothing about U.S. submarine involvement, but only a Russian fire. And, oh, maybe it was Norway. Maybe it was over here. Oh, nothing happened. There's no indication. Ah, bah, bah. Nothing to see here kind of stories. And then some good stories, sneaky, saying, if there was a time we'd go to war, and the Air Force guy comes out and says, these would be the steps we would do. One of them was contacting NATO. Brother Quayle put that up yesterday at stevequayle.com, stevequayle.com. Incidentally, if you can't go to his True Legends conference where the alien question is going to be answered, would you like your alien question answered, or any of them? It's going to have all the top speakers and people there. Incredible. But if you can't, then go ahead and pre-reserve the tapes, the DVD tapes from the the conference, which is going to be in September in Branson, Missouri, and it'll be a wing dinger. You can still get tickets, so if you can, order those at stevequayle.com. And if you call them up, you can click and order them, but if you call them at 406-586-4840, you can also order them by phone if you have any questions. And you just tell them Hawk sent you. You tell them old Hawk sent you, and by golly, to give them all the best seats and the best stuff and all they were required. But if you can't go to it, then what you can do is order the pre-order the 2019 DVD for the conference, and then Steve is going to give you a free copy of his one of his latest books, Terminated, which is a culmination book of his that puts together all of his other books prior to that, kind of puts them into the mix, and it's just an incredible chock-full book, Terminated. So that's going to be a free copy of that with the order. Now, while you're at it, get you a copy and order an additional copy and just say, add this to the order, and you can get you gold, you can get you silver, or anything you want from Steve's Renaissance Precious Metals. Or you could also get, you see, if you want to, you could get that Empire Beneath the Ice. And that, I'm going to tell you, will give you a whole other picture of what's going on, because it tells you about what technology they had in the 30s and 40s and immediately after the war, and how basically maybe the Nazis and the Fourth Reich won the war, you see. Yes, thank you, Will. James Earl Jones. And it was in By Dawn's Early Light. Yeah, that was the movie, and he was on the Tacomo plane. Anyway, thank you very much. Just saw that on the email here. I just happened to glance. But back to the night. Would you like to give a nuclear war and nobody came and you didn't even know about it? So people say, well, Hawk, what were you doing? Well, old Hawk has, you know, put back a lot of food and has a lot of water barrels and got a lot of ammo and different firearms. He's got nuclear, biological, chemical gear. And he started doing that years ago. And I still get me an extra can or two of chunky soup when we go to the store or Progresso, or I get a can of whatever vegetable or fruit that I'm interested in at the time, a can of pears, or, you know, a can of peaches or applesauce or whatever it might be, or a Chef Boyardee, or a can of, you know, Hormel roast beef hash or Mary Kitchen roast beef hash or corned beef hash. Or, you know, beef stew or whatever it is, or a good old Campbell's chunky soup, because it's already got the water mixed in. The Progresso already got the stuff mixed in. And I want the meat, the potatoes, the vegetables. So you got it all in one thing, because a can of that, a big can of chunky soup, that could be your ration for a day. You get that with some greens you get maybe that are still out there, some old dandelion greens or poke salad or whatever you got. And or maybe you got some flowers that you grow in the flower garden that are edible. And for those of you don't get that, then look up edible flowers. You might start planting those, because you might understand that could be good for you. But if you get the wrong ones, you could goop you up. So don't get the wrong ones. So we got all this stuff ongoing and all these little extra things. And in the midst of all these people calling in wanting to get those orders authenticated, some people who were listening closely and who could hear the traffic pretty good, although it was weak, mostly weak that night. I'm talking about guys who got real rigs and know what to do, and the good hams and the good signal intelligence people that have the right radios, the right filters, the right antennas, the right stuff. I'm not talking about, you know, and I don't have all of that. I'm not that with it to do it. You see what I'm saying? I might try to listen on a small deal, but I know that at a certain point in time, all communication becomes local. becomes right around you. So at this point, we're hearing all these people asking, apparently, for authentication of those orders. This is tense time. You're under nuclear war protocols. But it's not on TV. It's not on CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS. Not even on Fox. Although one of them, I think maybe Fox or somebody, did do one story about a Russian sub that caught fire in an experimental submarine or something. But they towed them back. Now, there were reports in the Russian newspapers in Russia, okay? And on Russian media, they were talking more about the incident. So, in the midst of all of that, it was overheard in the background of the United States military's comm station. There was overheard some yelling and screaming in the background between some radio operators, additional ones, than the main ones speaking. But the radio ops were arguing, and then whoever the supervisor, the officer, or the top non-com, probably a non-com, and then probably an officer there as well, were yelling back at him, "You've got to handle these calls. These people need authentication." They weren't getting to him quick enough, you understand. And then that kind of filtered out and dwindled out. So then, at that point in time, there everybody's ready to rock and roll. But then we hear from the backside, we hear from the deep background, that apparently very cool-headed President Trump and cool-headed Putin agreed to pause. Agreed to pause to investigate and to find out more information on both sides of the coin, and they backed away. Well, now, when you analyze that, that's very smart, and I compliment them for having done that. Because I don't want to have gone up in an annihilation or to come up out of my basement hole with my firearm and gas mask and suit on and to go out to see what's left, you know? Three-legged dogs and zombies and who knows what's out there. So I'm glad that we don't have that. At the same time, I would tell you this, just standing back and looking at and analyzing, neither side was really ready to go, you see. If you're going to go, they would all like to be ready to go. Now, President Trump was ready, and Putin was getting ready, but they didn't have all their ducks around the world in a row. And maybe Putin didn't have his, you know, $60 billion in gold or whatever stacked up in his deep bunker yet or whatever. Maybe he wanted to get some of that going for himself. At the Yamanatu Mountain, a giant under the mountain complex. And then you see the ring roads of Moscow and St. Petersburg and all that. They have special trains and underground trains and stuff that take you to the Yamanatu Mountain. They could take you out to your dacha, your country house, if you're one of the, if you're one of the people on their list, you know, the specialist. But otherwise, they're taking a large number of their people out and putting them in the mountain. The Red Chinese have civil defense underground in Beijing. In the subways and stuff, the Moscow subways, you know, all the trains in Russia, the big cities, I mean, they got deep underground in the subways, and they're beautiful. Stalin built them. Excuse me. But they're designed just like the tubes in London were designed to be bomb shelters. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting some coffee here. Now, we're coming to the end of the evening here, and I've taken a long time on this, but I'm glad I'm doing it. Because what you don't know will kill you, you know. So you got to be ready. Now, so now we're already starting at this period of time when they back off. and pause. But I've seen nothing necessarily to tell me that they ever came off of the initial two-letter code. They may have, but the people I'm talking to have not seen that to be necessarily rescinded. Now, they may back up a stage, and then you're only at half cock instead of full cock on the rifle. You know what I'm saying? Old types of rifles in the old days, they had a half cock and a full cock on the gun when you cocked the weapon to fire it. So that's where the idea comes from. So at that point in time, then all the spin stuff takes over. And then they start telling you, oh, you should be very suspicious and don't believe anything these conspiracy nuts say and all that. The new information is just a Russian sub burnt, and then some other stuff starts to come out, and then they start to hear the story saying, well, you know, maybe they were there doing something bad. They were going to cut the cables, or maybe they were going to plant a nuclear device there that would then cause a huge explosion, a tsunami, and pop the faults. So then what do we have? The very day or two later, well, we get the next day, we get the big pop up the Juan de Fuca, up there off the coast of British Columbia and Washington State, up above the Juan de Fuca Strait, out there at the plate, you're getting a 6.2 or 4, whatever it was. Well, isn't that interesting? Huh. Now, let's ask yourself the question. Well, those are fault lines and plate lines anyway, and this guy predicts, and that guy predicts, and they thought there might be something anyway. That is true. But if you're fighting a war, ladies and gentlemen, which is called, quote, end quote, act of God type warfare, act of God type warfare, what better time to use that when somebody maybe have already predicted that the quake would happen? Maybe you can hasten it along. Maybe you can cause it to go bigger. Maybe you can hit it slightly different and cause other quakes and cause thousands of quakes and shakes that might then, in a crescendo, bring off the big ones. The big one may be in Seattle. The big one may be in, San Andreas or in San Francisco, and down in L.A. or whatever. Maybe that's what they're going to do. And then how could they do it? They could do it. They don't have to do it with a nuke or a device, but they could do that because the Russians back in the day had stuff planted in the ocean floor, nuclear weapons planted. And that goes back, and those were taken out eventually, When Ronald Reagan came into office, they started removing a lot of that crap. And they say, well, Hawk, how could this all be? Wouldn't Walter Cronkite get this, the equivalent of that, and talk about it on the air and tell the American people? No! You never heard about the Scorpion or the Thresher or you didn't hear much about the Kursk, You didn't. You hear today that you hear about the story about the Maddox, the boat that started the World War or the war in Vietnam. You can hear the historian of the NSA, and that was a spy ship, by the way. Very good spy ship with a tough commander named Boom Boom McLaughlin, toughest son of a gun, old salt, carrying a .45 and look you in the eye. And be able to knock you down with his eyeball, cobra eyelock. Wasn't afraid of nothing. The best the Navy had. And then his crew and the people in his radio rooms and places like that. His XOs were the same kind of people. And then they say that, oh, my, there was no fire. And they heard their propellers, the end of the Turner Joy. They had thought they were being attacked. Well, you want to know the truth? Because the truth still never really come out. I've told you a couple times on air. Truth is that the one boat was taking a stay behind American Chinese who was going to be an agent going back up in a river up into China, and the Chinese sort of got wind of it, and they sent the North Vietnamese patrol boats after him. North Vietnamese thought they were involved with doing stuff on certain islands, and they came flying at him, letting it fly with all of their weaponry at the Maddox, and I believe the Turner Joy as well. But at the Maddox, which was the main deal they were chasing, I know somebody who was on the boat. And they were all at battle stations. Boom, I mean, you know what I mean? And they were on the 50 cal and their own 5-inch guns. And some people like old Boom Boom would have had his 45 cocked and locked because he'd have stood on the deck. And they'd have rammed him and turned and rammed him if they needed to. And he'd have fired the 45 right between the eyes of the, under the bridge of the other opposing boat. That's how tough they were. And to dishonor them by saying, there was nothing ever there. They were just all nincompoops. And it was all cover to start the war for LBJ. Well, there was a Marine Corps aviator who was coming in to help the Maddox. And he was saying, this is Marine Corps, blah, 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 I'm coming in. I'm going to dive in. I'm going to take out them North Vietnamese boats. And then guess who comes on the air? Just for you out there so you know, because this is straight from somebody's horse's mouth that was on that boat that night. And they heard it on the radio, you see? And they heard that LBJ under his code name, they came on and said to the Marine Corps aviator, Marine Corps aviator, you'll do no such thing. You will stand down and get up there, or I will personally keel haul your ass, okay? Now, Johnson was a Navy man, so he would use a term such as that, you see. It may have been some variation thereof. But don't go into their Luciferian knife down a fight. You get out there tonight, you start to prepare. You want to keep old Hawk in the game, then you know how to get to me and let me know. Mighty men and women of valor, use your high technology. Strike blows against those Luciferians that are out there. And you know what's going on. And you know how close we were and still are. Take advantage of your plausible deniability and just make it a beat down. Fandango Patriot, you're ready to get more money than old Mickey LePage. You're gonna need a boat. Ladies and gentlemen, to the Lord's technicians, all of you.